Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to take this time to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find a 30-minute Bible videos on a host of Bible subjects that you can download, and a host of other Bible-related material, along with some information about us. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll begin the regular meeting times and our worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Just come with an open Bible, open mind, and let us examine the Word of God together, show your need for God in your life, and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been discussing for the past couple of months the subject of the deity and humanity of Christ. We began by showing that God's Son was both human and deity when He was here on earth. We've examined many different types of evidence. We've looked at the fulfilled prophecies. We've examined the claims of Jesus Himself. We also looked at the testimony of the Apostle John. We looked at the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And then last week, we looked at the evidence of His miracles. Today, we want to look at one of the strongest evidences of the deity of Jesus Christ, and that is His resurrection. We begin this morning by reading from Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, Romans 1 and verse number 4. Our proposition is defined as this: Jesus died and was buried. On the third morning or before, His body disappeared. The disciples came to firmly believe that He was raised and that He had arose from the dead. Two questions that must be answered. Did the body disappear by a resurrection or by some other way? There are men who believe both. There are men who deny the actual bodily resurrection of Christ, and those who believe in the statements and the lies that were told by Jesus' enemies that someone came and stole His body. Did the belief of the disciples originate from the fact of the resurrection or from some other source? Well, not according to Acts 1 and verse number 3. In Acts 1 and verse number 3, the scriptures say, "To whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God," Acts 1 and verse 3. Notice, He presented Himself alive by many infallible proofs. Infallible means that cannot be denied. Paul gives a summary of the resurrection in the first few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I would like to read that for you this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, of which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Jesus died for our sin according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and that He arose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that He was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as one born out of due time." Paul just gives a summary of part of the many appearances that Jesus made during after His resurrection. What we want to do now is look at some of the particular evidences of the resurrection that are contained in the Scripture. Mary Magdalene. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. We read this in Mark 16, 9 through 11, and John 20, verse 11 through 18. And this is after Peter and John left the empty tomb. A group of women were in the process of carrying the news of the empty tomb to the other disciples in Matthew 28, 9 and 10. Yet this included Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and perhaps other women. But as they were going to prepare the body for the burial, because it was hastened to be prepared because the Sabbath was coming, and so since that was the Sabbath day and he died on Friday, they were coming to prepare the body. And one of their great discussions on the way was who was going to roll away the stone. But when they got to the grave, the tomb was already rolled away, and on the slab where his body was placed, there was no slab, but folded clothes that covered him after his death. And again, the apostles, who they came to tell the evidence of what they had seen, they did not believe, and so they're later rebuked for their unbelief. We also see men on Jerusalem, the Emmaus Road, who Jesus talked to in Luke 24, verse 13 through 35, and they were talking to the resurrected Christ. And they give evidence of that in Luke 24. Peter, who perhaps needed the opportunity, lest he drown in overmuch sorrow for his denial of the Lord, gives evidence of his resurrection in Luke 24, 33 through 34, and also what we just read in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 5. We also know that the disciples assembled in a closed room, first of all, minus Thomas, in Luke 24, 36 through 43, and that again, 8 days later, with Thomas included, in John 20, verse 26 through 31, and told Thomas to look at his nail-scarred hands and the hole in his side, to not be unbelieving, but believing. And so he appeared to them on two occasions. He appeared to the disciples again when they were fishing in John 21, verse 1 through 25. And according to Luke, he ate with them, something that a spirit wouldn't do. Food is for the body of flesh and blood, to demonstrate that he overcame the grave and he overcame death. The apostles, in giving them their commission, he gave them the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and also Mark 16, 15 through 18, and again in Luke 24, 44 through 49, all of them after his resurrection. We also see that he was seen last of all by Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9, 1 through 6, reaccounted in chapter 22, 6 through 9, and chapter 26, 12 through 15 of Acts, by Paul himself. And the apostles, as he's ascending from their midst on Mount Olivet, when he went back to heaven in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And so all of these are detailed evidence given by eyewitness testimony of the resurrected Christ, who they saw, who they talked with, and who they had inner relationships with by talking and communing with him, therefore showing that he surely had been resurrected. Now, explanations that don't explain. The body stolen, not by the disciples, but by the guards posted. Why would they do that? The guards wouldn't steal the body because it was sealed with the Roman seal. If you broke the seal, then you would be put to death. So the Roman guards would have no reason to take the body. Not by the guards, because their life would be at stake. Not by the Jews, or they would have to produce it or to stop reports of his resurrection. That's why they wanted the guards there. The Jews didn't want him to be resurrected, because that would be evidence of his deity. The faint and swoon theory. Professional executors checked to assure his death. In John chapter 19, they broke the legs of the other two because they had not died. Jesus was already dead, and then they pushed the soldier put the sword in his side, and out came blood and water. He didn't faint. He didn't swoon. He died. Physically impossible because of his condition, the scourging. The tomb itself was sealed, and the guards. all those give evidence that he was in there and that he died. And the fact that he's gone proves that he was resurrected. What about hallucination? Can be induced by drugs, drunkenness, or an emotional imbalance or agitation. But too many people were involved. And a thorough investigation made in Matthew 28, 11 through 15, trying to find out his whereabouts. Too many people would have to be involved if it was a hoax, vision, or a dream. Too many people had the same dream. They were investigated. Spirit only. Jesus exploded this theory when he said to see me, touch me, watch me, and aid with them in Luke 24, verse 36 through 43. Cause raised. Records say both his body and his cause revived. The latter based on the former. That's just false. Fanatics had story. Agitated mental state. Overheated imagination, not an evidence. Reports not believed at first through a thorough investigation. No, you have to test the testimony. You have to look at the eyewitness accounts on the same term by which any testimony can be inherent in either its strength or its weakness. And so what you have is you have a multiplicity of witnesses. How were they all involved? How did they all coordinate the story? How did they all tell the same thing? How did they all see the same thing? Again, it defies logic. All of these eyewitness accounts are living evidence that Jesus overcame death. And Psalm 16, 8 through 10 prophesied that he would overcome death. He told the apostles on numerous occasions prior to his death that he would be crucified, that he is going to die, but on the third day he would rise again. Well, if he's truthful, and he is, and if he never sinned, and telling a lie would be a sin, and yet he said he would rise on the third day, and the evidence is overwhelming that he did. And so what are we going to say to all these witnesses, to all the witnesses that we just listed? Was it a hoax? Was it a perpetrated hoax that all these people conspired together to tell the same story, to hatch the same ridiculous theory? No. This is the testimony that must be given and must be given evidence of in order to understand that Jesus did what he claimed to do, and that is to arise from the dead. And he gave a preview of this when he raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. He said that he had the power to lay his body down and to give it up, and he had the power to take it up again. And indeed, he demonstrated that he had the power to do both. He willingly gave his life, and he willingly took it up again in order to show that death was not the end of mankind's existence, but death was just a transition for going from the temporal state and to entering the eternal state and to the Hadean state of going to the Hadean realm where the spirit goes that departs from the body when death occurs. And according to Psalm 16, 8 through 10, he would overcome both realms, and indeed he did. Again, how are you going to discard all this evidence? That's why Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 says, the greatest evidence, the explanation point of that he was who he claimed to be, and that is God's Son, deity, sent from God, was his resurrection from the dead. It can't be denied. Too many witnesses, too much evidence, and Jesus himself was evident for all to see. Yes, he